الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani channel, what can be said about the excellences of reciting Durood Sharif As-Salat ala Nabi? In one narration, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Sallu alayya, send salutations upon me, فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ عَلَيَّ كَفَّارَةٌ لَكُمْ For indeed your recitation of salat upon me will be a means of expiation for you. What does this mean? كَفَّارَةٌ لَكُمْ Here means that when you recite Durood Sharif, this will lead to your sins being forgiven. This will atone and compensate for your sins. صَلُّوا عَلَى الْحَبِيبِ صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Let's make some good intentions, inshallah, prior to the bayan. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned that the intention of a believer is better than his action. نيت المؤمن خير من عملي. With this in mind, make the intention that you're here present in the house of Allah and those who are watching from home only to earn the pleasure, the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your sole purpose, this is your maqsad in coming here, in listening to this bayan, inshallah. Also make the intention that whatever you listen to, you will try your utmost to remember it and to act upon it as well, inshallah. Remember, knowledge without action, that isn't the goal. We need to have knowledge and then we back that up with action. Otherwise, that knowledge can work against us. Imagine somebody studied all his life but never acted upon his knowledge, Islamic knowledge, that will come back to haunt him. So the ulama even give an example. They say, knowledge without action is like a body without a soul. Like a body without a soul. So it's necessary that we act upon our knowledge. Make the intention, inshallah, whatever you hear, you will try your utmost to act upon it. And also make the intention, whatever you hear, whatever you remember, you go home, tell your spouse, tell your children, your parents, teach others as well. In fact, the ulama mentioned that, subhanAllah, look at the difference between wealth and knowledge. Wealth, the more you spend, the more it decreases. But knowledge, the more you spread it to others, the more your own knowledge increases. So many times we hear something, we go away, we don't tell it to someone else, we don't mention it to someone else. Before we know it, we've forgotten the hadith. And then we say, I think I've heard a hadith like this. I think there's a narration similar to this. But if we go away and we spread that knowledge to others, inshallah, that will make the knowledge that we've learned firm in our minds. Imagine you narrate a hadith 100 times. You'll never forget that hadith. So we make an intention that whatever you hear, you will also spread it to others as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you get an opportunity to do something good, make good intentions beforehand in abundance, inshallah. Now the bayan today, we will speak about something which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam himself informed us about. And in a narration that I will state right now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there is something in the human body, if that is sound, if that is well, inshallah your whole body is well. And that same thing in the body, if it is corrupt, then the whole body follows suit. The whole body becomes corrupt as well. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam said, "Inna fil jasadi mudghatan." There is a piece of flesh in the body. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ If that is sound, if that is well, in a good condition, the whole body will be in a good condition and will be sound as well. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ But if that piece of flesh in the body is corrupt, فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ The entire body follows and also becomes corrupt. What is that piece of flesh, you may ask? The Prophet ﷺ removed our concern or confusion in this regard and he said, Allah, take heed, وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ It is the heart. And remember, when we speak about the heart here, we're not speaking about the physical heart. We're speaking about the spiritual heart. Because your heart, this has a spiritual state. For example, in narrations, we're told about ways to purify the heart. And it's referring to the spiritual heart. How to make your heart illuminated, nurani. And also in narrations, we're told about those actions that lead to the heart becoming dark, becoming stained, becoming blemished. There's a famous narration that we've often heard that when a person sins, a black dot is placed on his heart. And if he continues sinning, those black dots increase. He doesn't repent. And it reaches a stage where his entire heart is encompassed by this darkness. And what happens then when somebody advises him? His heart is not open to receiving that advice. So the heart that we're going to speak about briefly today is the spiritual heart. Now, the Prophet ﷺ has told us that this heart, you need to be mindful of it. You need to be cautious regarding it. Let me tell you that there are two types of knowledge that a believer must gain. One is a zahiri, external knowledge. One is batini knowledge. External knowledge, the ulama state, refers to Islamic jurisprudence. Al-fiqh, the science known as fiqh, rulings of Islamic law. For example, you've come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today. Many people performed ghusl, performed wudu. Then they left their homes. Some people will come to the masjid and perform their wudu. Then they will come and offer their prayer, their salatul jumu'ah. And similarly, on a daily basis, we do wudu. We offer our prayers. Remember, each of these ibadat have preconditions. Matlab, before you even stand for salah and say Allahu Akbar, make your intention, waghera, you have to have purification. Now, there are certain things that you must do in purification when you're doing wudu. Who is going to teach you that? The scholars of Islamic fiqh have written all those laws in their books. And we are able to access them today. What are the faraid of wudu? What are the faraid of ghusl? What are the sunnahs of ghusl? The sunnahs of wudu, etc. All of these things. What things invalidate ghusl? What things invalidate wudu? When you stand for prayer, what things must you do before you even say Allahu Akbar? Now, in the prayer itself, how many things are sharaite namaz? How many things are from the faraid of namaz? How many things are from the wajibat of namaz? The sunan of namaz? These are things that we must learn in a science known as fiqh, Islamic rulings. And we ask the scholars, we ask the muftiyan kiram, the ulama-i Islam, we ask them whenever we need to know about a particular mas'ala. The Quran tells us, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ And ask the people of knowledge if you yourselves do not know. If we're unaware of a mas'ala, of course we're going to ask the ulama. So we often ask the ulama, oh, this happened, is my wuzu still intact? Or has it become invalid? Or this happened during namaz? I was fasting and this situation occurred. I went for umrah. And this happened in a state of ihram. Can you please guide me? So this is known as external knowledge related to the ahkamat, the worship carried out, the pillars of Islam, for example, Hajj, Salah, Zakat, and Saum of Ramadan. And there are other masail as well. Tijarat has its own masail, business, Islamic principles. And like this, these are all external knowledge. And then we have a knowledge which refers to the batin of an individual, the internal. And here, as I mentioned, it refers to the spiritual heart. There are some things that our heart needs to be free of. There are certain things that are necessary to be found in our heart. For example, the ulama categorize and they say there are two things known as munjiyat and muhlikat. Munjiyat are things that lead to a believer gaining salvation, and they relate to the heart. Believer needs to have tawakkul in his heart. Believer needs to have sabr in his heart. A believer needs to have shukr in his heart. These things are related to the heart. And then there are certain things called muhlikat, those things that destroy a person's heart. And it refers to the internal, the spiritual heart. For example, jealousy. What is the definition of jealousy, Islamically speaking? What is the ilaj, the treatment for jealousy? Ujub, self-conceit and vanity, thinking that everything's happened because of my achievements, my own efforts, my own striving, and not ascribing it to Allah Almighty. This is a disease of the heart known as ujub. So like this, the ulama have mentioned many, many spiritual diseases that we must learn about. And this is the problem today, where a person believes that the only knowledge he has to learn is knowledge related to ibadat, ahkamat of worship. But he is unaware, many people are unaware, that there is a knowledge that is also fard to learn, necessary to learn, which relates to the inner, the heart, the qalb. And if this qalb is sound, inshallah, the whole body will be sound. If this qalb is corrupt, the whole body will become corrupt. Now, one may ask, where does it say in the Quran that there are sins related to the heart? We know about external sins. The Quran mentions, you know, prohibitions regarding lying, prohibitions regarding adultery, other various prohibitions in the Quran, eating usury, interest, wagaira. But where does it say about the heart? Where does this science come from? In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ And leave the outer sins and the inner sins. وَبَاطِنَ The internal sins. So the outer sins we know. Don't harm someone with your hand. Protect your eyes, your ears. Don't steal. Don't cheat. Don't deceive. Don't do all of these things. The ahkamat are mentioned. But the Quran also says, save yourselves, avoid the internal sins. Now here, what's the tafsir? What does it mean by internal sins? The mufassirun, the scholars who have commentated on the Quran, and who are accepted by the Muslim Ummah, there are many famous tafasir. They state that internal sins refer to those sins of the heart which destroy your a'mal. For example, riya, ostentation. A person strives to do good deeds, but the intention behind it is wrong. He's doing that action because he wants people to praise him. For example, this is a disease of the heart known as riya, ostentation, showing off. He wants people to see what he's doing. Now tell me, if a person doesn't even know that showing off is a sin in Islam, if he doesn't know the Islamic definition of showing off, if he doesn't know how to cure this illness of ostentation, he is going to have a really tough time. Similarly, jealousy, hasad, if he doesn't know how strictly Islam prohibits jealousy, then how will he ever consider this to be a grave sin? How will he ever find out the ilaj, the treatments, the remedies for hasad? So this is what the Quran is referring to, save yourselves from inner sins as well. And this is a problem today. We adorn our outer, but we neglect our inner. Many, many people in this ummah, outwardly, and these are the themes mentioned in ahadith, that outwardly there are people in this ummah that others don't consider them anything. But if they were to take an oath upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will fulfill that oath. And if they were to seek refuge in Allah from something, Allah will save them from that thing. And we know these people are the salihin of this ummah, the awliya, who have rectified their inner, who have worked on their inner. So bazahir, the person is not someone who is affluent, who is well known in society. People may not even think of him, ask about him. But in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is maqbool. So this is what we need to aim for. Being accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the latter ulama, like Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma, he speaks about knowledge related to the internal sins, and he says this is fard for Muslims to learn. Just like we learn the ahkam of wudu, we learn the ahkam of salah, hajj, zakat, the fasting in Ramadan, we have to learn about spiritual diseases of the heart. Because if this heart becomes corrupt, the whole body will become corrupt. If you were to ponder, majority of the vices we see in society today, majority of the sins is due to having a corrupt heart. First of all, anger develops, leads to jealousy, then it leads to plotting, then it leads to all sorts of evil. People go as far as killing others, their own blood brothers, their own family members. Where did this start? The heart. Look at the first sin. The ulama speak about the first sin that was committed. It was due to jealousy. It was due to hasad. What is the definition of hasad? This is necessary upon me and you to learn. The ulama say hasad is when you see someone with a ni'mah, a blessing, and you desire for that person to lose that blessing. It's happening today as well. People can't accept the fact that so-and-so has been blessed with this ni'mah, with that ni'mah. And they plot and they go through all of this planning. How do we make sure the person loses his ni'mah? What can we do to make sure he suffers in regards to that ni'mah? Ma'azallah. This is what's going on today. Now, if you go right at the beginning of time, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is Abul Bashar. Allah blessed him with a wife, Sayyidatuna Hawa radiyallahu anha. They had offspring. And we know the famous story of Qabil and Habil. Qabil became jealous. Why is Habil marrying so-and-so? I want to marry her. This jealousy led from one thing to another. Eventually what happened? He killed his own brother. The first murder on earth. So what did it stem from? Jealousy. But if we don't even know what jealousy is, if we don't know about the ilaj, the treatment of jealousy, if jealousy has entered our heart, and it can, we're humans, we're not angels, alayhimus salam, we're certainly not prophets and messengers, alayhimus salam, who are ma'asoom, anil khata wa dhunub. They are free from sins, but we're not. This is the test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once jealousy or anything like that enters the heart, what must a believer do? The ulama say, in that situation, a believer must strive and try his hardest to remove that from his heart. And they give so many beautiful pearls of wisdom in this regard. They say, think for a moment that you're jealous of your fellow believer receiving this or acquiring that. Why don't you think about who gave it to him? Where did that believer gain this blessing from? And if we're Muslims, and we are, alhamdulillah, we believe all ni'am, all blessings come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we make that mindset that every single blessing comes from the court of Allah jalla wa ala, then we won't fall into jealousy, because the person who is jealous, in a sense, he is saying, Ya Allah, why did you give him this thing? Na'udhu billah. He's not directly saying that. It's an indirect expression of that. Ya Allah, why did you give him this? He wasn't worthy of this. Allah Ta'ala, his knowledge is complete. Allah Ta'ala knows what is better for one person, what is better for another, what will make a person become ghafil if he receives that, what will strengthen the iman of another if he receives this. Allah Ta'ala knows about all of this. So in a sense, the person who is jealous of another is doing a direct objection against the taqseem, the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the ulama say when a person becomes jealous, he should continue praying for that person. Ya Allah, give him more, give him more. If possible, give gifts to him. Try and remove that jealousy from your heart. Don't dwell on that thought. So this is one sin. The likes of Ala Hazrat Ali Rahmah said to become a pious believer. We're not even talking about the stages of the awliya, Ghawth and Qutub and Abdal and Awtad, we're talking about a Salih Mu'min. Allah Hazrat Ali Rahma said you have to be free from 40 spiritual diseases. And he lists them all. We don't know the in definitions of majority of them. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So we have to learn. Similarly, Ujub. This is another spiritual disease. This is when you receive a ni'mah. And more every day you begin to think, this is me. I'm the reason for this success. So-and-so couldn't achieve it, but I've achieved it. I am great. I am this. I am that. Forgetting the fact that Allah Ta'ala gave you tawfiq in the first place. Allah Ta'ala gave you intelligence in the first place. Allah Ta'ala gave you istiqamah, steadfastness in the first place. You were able to do that consistently because of Allah. Imagine you had fallen ill. You were bedridden. Anything could have happened. Allah Ta'ala created that ease for you in your life. You were able to do something. So it's all from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But what happens when a person falls into ujub? He says, I am behind this. And he doesn't ascribe that achievement to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You look at the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will never find that. You will never ever find that. The person, that blessed individual, our master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is responsible for billions and billions of people entering Islam, he taught us about Islam, about Allah being one, about Jannah, about what lies in wait for the believers, about Iman. He never said stuff like this. Even though if you think from one angle, the Prophet ﷺ was well within his rights to express the favors of Allah upon him by saying that I am the cause. Because this is tahdithun ni'mah, speaking about the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, ascribing the blessing to Allah. But even then the Prophet ﷺ, he would always remain humble. He always remained humble. So this is another spiritual disease. Like this, talabu shuhra, this is another spiritual disease that the scholars have mentioned, relates to the heart. A person wants fame. A person wants to become renowned amongst others, amongst the public. And nowadays, Allahu Akbar, people are going to all sorts of lengths. People are adopting all sorts of lengths just to gain fame, just to gain notoriety. And even using social media, utilizing social media. So, this is another spiritual disease. The believers are those who do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of their every single action. They don't need people to know. They don't need that fame amongst people. They don't need that renown amongst people. This is another spiritual disease, talabu shuhra. Then you have tahqirul masakin. Another disease of the heart which is belittling those who are destitute. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would seek out the poor people. He would go to their invitations. They would invite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He alayhi salatu wasalam knew full well that this person will not be able to provide a proper meal. But did he turn that miskeen down? Did he turn that poor person down? No, in fact, you will find in a hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would go out of his way and make sure that his schedule includes visiting such people. He would attend the invitations of the poor. And today, ma'azallah, the poor look down upon, frowned upon. We want to disassociate ourselves from them. We don't want anything to do with them. They cramp our style. I can't be seen with such people. So this all comes down to a lack of knowledge. So the spiritual heart needs to be taken care of. We need to be mindful of what thoughts enter our heart, what's leaving our heart, what actions are emanating because of the corrupt heart. Another spiritual disease that the ulama speak about is su'ul dhan. Having an evil assumption, an evil opinion regarding your fellow believer. Remember, we see things all the time. And we try to find excuses for our fellow believers. This is the way. Some scholars even said, find 70 excuses for your believer. That no, it may have been this situation, this may have been the case, I might have misinterpreted it, I may not be able to understand what's going on, I put that down to my lack of understanding. But no, what we do is we straight fire on that person. I saw him do this. Why did he do this? Remember, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's not going to be able to that you won't be able to present that in the court of Allah as a proof. That I thought he was doing this and I thought he was doing that. So su'ud-dhan is evil assumption, negative assumption regarding our fellow Muslims. We haven't even investigated the matter. We haven't even got to the core of the matter. And we've labeled people and we've said, oh, he's like this. 100% he's like this. I saw him with so-and-so. He's like that. This guy's also like that. Remember, evil assumptions can also lead to all sorts of evils taking place in society. All sorts of crimes. And it happens as well. We hear about it all the time. Criminals are asked, why did you do this? I felt it was him behind it. I felt he was the one who was tarnishing my reputation. I felt this, I felt that. Remember, Islam teaches us to not delve into matters in the first place. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. Do not delve into matters. Do not see people's faults. Do not investigate. And then, when we start to do that, we come to all sorts of conclusions. We have no hujjah, we have no proof. So this is another spiritual disease of the heart, su'ud-dhan, thinking negatively about our fellow Muslims. In fact, we should think positively about others. And one thing the scholars say so beautifully is that if your own heart is in a good state, if you have taqwa and piety in your heart, you do good yourself, inshallah you will think good of others as well. Whereas if your own heart is corrupt, you're involved in all sorts of sins yourself, then you will think like that regarding others as well. You will think they're doing the same things as me, when it might not be the case. I'm just briefly going through certain spiritual diseases of the heart to give you an indication of how much we need to learn. How much we need to actually learn. The scholars of Islam have also mentioned treachery. Being treacherous, being deceitful. This is also a spiritual disease of the heart. Arrogance is another disease of the heart. And Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah shower his endless mercy upon Imam Ghazali, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He is the physician. He tells us through his books, Ihya al-Ulum, Minhaj al-Abideen, other such books. It's like he's telling us, he's diagnosing our illnesses and saying to us, look, this is the problem and here's the cure as well. The founder of Dawat Islami, Mawlana Ilyas Qadri, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, says that if it wasn't for Imam Ghazali, I would have been destroyed. He mentions two individuals. He says, in Aqaid, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma, and in terms of spirituality, rectifying the heart, the books of Imam Ghazali were his savior. They're indispensable. You can't do without them. So these scholars have written everything for us. The treatments for these illnesses, these spiritual diseases of the heart. Physical illnesses, we go to great lengths. We're willing to spend whatever. And that's not something wrong. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what about the spiritual heart? We totally neglect it. You know, and remember, your spiritual heart, if it's corrupt, you won't even feel like doing good deeds. Something as, you know, like basic as reading a ruku of the Quran. Your heart won't be inclined towards it. Your heart won't be inclined towards good deeds because it's in such a bad state. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that if your heart is corrupt, the whole body will be corrupt. Imam Ghazali says your heart is like the king and the rest of your bodily limbs are the ministers of the king. The king is the one who orders the ministers. He is the one who commands them to do something and they follow his commands. And if the king is salih, if the king is pious, righteous, and he leads according to Islam, his sovereignty, his kingdom is according to Quran and Sunnah, then inshallah, khair will emanate. The ministers will carry out whatever the king does and that will be beneficial, best for the people. But if the king is not righteous, the king is evil, the king is wicked, impious, transgressor, then it goes without saying that the ministers will follow suit as well. This is the powerful example that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi gives regarding the heart. And he says, what state is your heart in? Is your heart salih so that it may command righteousness, or is your heart corrupt, which is leading your bodily limbs to commit all sorts of sins? This is why we have to be ever mindful of our heart. Ever mindful. And the righteous of this ummah, what they would do is, in the evenings or whenever they would specify a time to think about their actions, self-accountability. And that's a time where they would reflect. And then they would rectify if there was a need to rectify. But we don't have time for that, sadly. You know, we have time for everything else, but in terms of rectifying the heart, we're in a bad situation. So we need to return to the teachings of our aslaf, teachings of our beautiful deen. We mentioned in the beginning the powerful verse of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهِ. Many people have never heard this verse of the Quran or the translation. And save yourselves from outer sins and inner sins as well. External sins and internal sins. External sins we know about. Backbiting, misuse of the tongue, the eyes, the ears. But what about the internal sins? This is where we have to learn. It's fard upon us equally. Just like it's fard upon us to learn fiqh, masail of the deen, Islamic law and ahkamat regarding various types of worship. Equally, it's fard for us to learn about the heart, about takabbur, about ujub, about riyah, ostentation, about hasad, about long hopes. This is another spiritual disease of the heart. The scholars have said, Tulul Amal is a spiritual disease of the heart when you have lengthy hopes. And we've seen it many times. To the extent that people will compromise in terms of deen and follow their dunyawi maqasid. There are many people in society today who Hajj is fard upon, but they won't do it. Tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they have in their mind that I need to fulfill this first and I need to make sure this is in order and I need to get my children married and I need to do this. And they convince themselves. But what did the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam say? That if someone has the means to perform Hajj, go to Baytullah and he does not. And the words of the hadith are very powerful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam said that I don't care if he dies as a non-Muslim. So we can convince ourselves all we like, but at the end of the day, Allah Ta'ala is the one who will take account, and He is the one who has ordained us. These are not rulings that are coming from me, or a scholar of a century ago, or 5 centuries ago. This is from the Quran and Hadith. So, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهِ. We need to learn about outer sins, inner sins. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there is a piece of flesh in the body. If it is sound, the whole body will be sound. And if it is corrupt, the whole body will be corrupt. What is that piece of flesh? The heart, the qalb. We need to focus on the heart. We need to purify the heart. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran about those who purify themselves? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Those who purify themselves, they've succeeded. Today we have our own mi'yar of success, our own criterion for success. It relates to the dunya, someone has maal, mansab, rutbah. We say he succeeded. But Allah Ta'ala is saying the one who purified himself has succeeded. So this is what we need to aim for. We need to purify ourselves, our inner and outer. And rest assured, if you purify your inner, Allah Ta'ala through His mercy will make your outward appearance beautiful as well, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to learn our beautiful deen, to learn about the Quran, the hadith, and the spiritual states of the heart, what we need to ensure we're doing with our heart and what we need to avoid in terms of the heart as well. And as I mentioned, spiritual diseases are something that we must learn about, their definitions, the ta'rifat, the signs of these spiritual illnesses, and the cures of these spiritual illnesses, the ilaj as well. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and purify our hearts. Ameen, bijahi Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.